Jeff Simpson, narrator.
This is from The Secret of Life, According to Aunt Gladys, by Bruce Coville.
"Randy, if I wanted you to know about George, we would have talked about him before," said Mom sharply. I realized this guy wasn't just George to me. He was Uncle George. I had always kind of wanted an uncle. Peter McKenzie's uncle is always taking him to ball games and playing two-point in the driveway with him. So all in all, uncles seemed like a good idea. Except from the way my mother reacted when Dad told her George was coming to town, you'd think the guy was a baby eater or something. I was getting ready to ask her some more questions when the doorbell rang.
"See who that is, find out what they're selling, and then tell them we don't want any," said Mom.
The front door was open. It was a nice night, and we'd wanted to let the breeze in, so there was only a screen door between me and the tall, elegant-looking woman standing on the porch. A big sample case sat next to her.
"What are you selling?" I asked, eyeing the case and not even making a move to open the door.
"Etiquette lessons would be appropriate," she replied in a husky voice. "You must be Randy."
I narrowed my eyes. "How do you know that?" Before she could answer, my mother shrieked,
"George, get off that porch before the neighbors see you!"
And that was how I met my Uncle George. This is from Scion Beta by Jacob Gowans. As the boys ran further into the network of alleys, the nauseating odor of rotten food and dead animals grew thicker. Sammy felt more and more trapped. At any moment, they might hit a dead end. And then what? He frantically led Pete through one blind turn after another, praying that each corner would not be the last. They came to a fork in the alley, and Sammy went right, hoping it would take them out of the maze. Pete stopped abruptly and clutched his sides in pain.
"I can't keep running like this," he exclaimed, gasping for air.
Sammy shoved Pete against the wall. "Hey, we swore we'd never go back to the grinder. Never."
"I don't know what to do anymore," Pete cried. His voice cracked.
"Let's leave the city. For good," Sammy suggested calmly. "Go somewhere else. We'll leave the territory, turn ourselves in as runaways, ask to be put in with fosters again. Maybe they'll even keep us together." But he knew the idea was stupid. This is from Circumferentially Challenged by Daniel Pinkwater. I'm going to say it. I'm going to say that word. The one you should never say. It can end a friendship. It can cause husband and wife to fight all day. You've got to be careful how you use this word. It's the F word. I tell you, it's powerful. Here goes. Fat. Fat. Fat, 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 fat. You can't say that. You can't say fat. Did you know that? You can say heavy. You can say large. In the case of women, you can say full-figured or pleasantly plump. I buy my clothes from the Big and Tall shop, or the Mighty Man shop, or I order those attractive fashions that hark back to the early 70s out of the King Size catalog. Never the Fat Man shop. Years ago, there used to be a store in New York with a big 19th century looking sign showing a fat guy in 19th century underwear and bearing the legend, "If all men were fat, there would be no wars." People used to tell it like it was. Call a spud a spud. But no more. Saying that someone is fat may be the worst thing one can say. My mother-in-law has often said that she would rather be dead than fat. And so far, she's neither.